You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing deals. I'm your host, Rudo, here with AJ back in the DNVR studio.
This is the first time we've been in the studio for...
It's been a minute.
Since Game 6.
We had to do at least one show in here since
Draft
and stuff.
Yeah, draft night. So draft night was it.
But it's been at least a month or two, so glad to be back as... Things are finally happening. Yes, the rookie camp and all that already happened, but that's not really real hockey stuff. Training camp is closer to real hockey stuff, if not quite real hockey stuff. That starts tomorrow. We're excited to get into it. We're going to break a lot of it down for you today. We do have a little bit of Avalanche news, as they did sign another PTO today in Gabriel Fontaine. He exists. He has played in the AHL for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm curious if this is a Rowena Naranda find or a Hartford Wolfpack one.
Yeah, it could be a little both, a little A, little B.
Yeah, because I saw David Oliver hanging out with all of the Avs brass again.
Who went to New York after he left the Avs for a little while.
He was hanging out with all the Avs guys at rookie camp, so at the rookie tourney. Saw Hep, too.
Nice.
He was not hanging out with the Avs.
He's with Arizona now, so...
It made sense he was there.
I mean, he's a pro scout for them now, right?
Yeah, so, but, you know, hockey guys go to hockey things.
Of course.
Like, George McPhee went to every single Avs game.
Yeah. I mean, what else is there to do in the middle of September, let's be honest?
I don't know, man. Our Airbnb had a pool. He could probably have done that.
I mean, I'm sure he did after he left the rink.
That's a gross visual.
Or maybe he didn't need to because of how cold that rink was.
Dude. I was in a shirt like this and shorts.
Yeah.
For the second game. Because I was like, oh, first game wasn't so bad. It was the practice rink on the back that was really bad. And by the end of that game, I was like rocking.
Freezing
back and forth
to death.
I was like, oh,
frostbite
my God.
Frostbite setting in.
It's so cold. Why are we playing overtime? This is the stupidest thing you people have ever done. And then that game ended, and I was gone.
Yeah, your tweet was very descriptive of how quickly you were out of there after Byram's goal.
It's so cold, let's all go. I like followed the NHL guys into the management hangout only area where all the team employees were allowed to chill, and I was just like, everybody get out of my way, I'm going to warm areas.
You didn't huddle for warmth.
I was not about to cuddle a bunch of grown men to stay warm. No.
All right. Just throwing it out there.
I will find my own solutions.
How good did it feel when you walked outside, though?
It was nice. Yeah.
How hot was it there when you were there?
It was like 106 most of the days. Like, so right
for,
in that
for
range.
Arizona, that's reasonable.
It did rain one of the days, so that was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, training camp. coming up
tomorrow.
It is going to be
the next show that we have.
Yes, will post be day one.
After day one, in which we will be drawing all sorts of strong conclusions and burning the world down or lifting it up upon our shoulders because they've already won the Stanley Cup.
A little bit of both, probably.
I'm looking forward to that.
Can't wait for us to pick our favorite fifth, sixth, or seventh liners.
We're going for it. Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson. It's going to be awesome. Jack Johnson.
Nope.
Okay.
Although, I want to see a drill.
Why is chat all excited about the Artie party? Guys, no. Jack Johnson.
I mean, I'm more about Artie than Jack Johnson, but in training camp, they do have a very specific opportunity if they bring Torin Fizer to camp, because they could run a 3-on-3 drill with Johnson and Johnson and Fizer.
He's hurt, though.
We don't know how bad. He could be back.
It's true.
But
I'm good with it.
That would be the only thing we need to talk about from day one of camp, if that happens.
P.S. get vaccinated.
Do it. But there are, let's be real, not a large number of battles on the defensive side of this training camp.
Yeah, it's really health.
Yep.
Stay
almost
healthy,
entirely
guys.
Health on, yeah, don't on hurt the each defensive other. Side. Even when you're talking about the new guys coming in, Ryan Murray and potentially Jack Johnson, yeah, it's about health.
Sorry, that was just an instinctive reaction. Jack Johnson! Yeah. I didn't mean to make a noise like I just had good times for lunch.
Mm-hmm. That definitely didn't happen.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be picking out battles for roster spots necessarily, but I do think it will be interesting what they try to make the pairings look like.
Yeah.
Will we see an aggressive look of a Byram and Makar or something like that?
Where's Byram? Where's Murray?
Yep. So.
Yep. What are they? Because what they do tomorrow will be the first inkling of what they are envisioning as their roster.
Exactly.
Now, they've aggressively used training camp to try things and move things around, and we'll just see what's up. A lot of things won't stick, but this is day one of camp. Is almost always a good look at what they are thinking. They want to see first.
Definitely. The picture in their mind, yeah.
All the roster baiting that we've all done. All those lines are written out on Jared Bednar's whiteboard somewhere, and we're going to actually see them IRL tomorrow. Yep. So.
And then that's Bednar's rosturbation.
Yeah.
Is out for everyone to see then.
Yep, it's outed.
So I do think that will be interesting.
No holds barred, no lube, no protection. We get to see it all exposed and raw.
Yep. Just out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He should probably be sure he manscaped his roster, but not getting into that just
That's
yet.
What training camp is for.
True.
You got to trim the hedges of the roster.
Of you do a lot of trimming at training camp. He's right.
Good Lord.
I'm sure this won't happen on day one, but I am curious as camp goes on, the defensive selections for special teams as well. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking about this off air a little bit, AJ, on what that second power play especially looks like with the defensemen. If they even want to continue to run two on that thing. So
yeah,
we'll have to see if Gerard or Taves has the inside line, or if maybe they just want to stick with three forwards.
I think that'll probably be like Saturday's pod, maybe Monday's pod.
Pretty deep into camp, I would
assume. The special teams installation stuff is usually not something that happens for
a minute.
Several days.
Yep.
Typically day one is conditioning, them getting certain baselines that they use for players to say, okay, you need to be able to do these things all year long. You came in on day one of camp being able to make this kind of time doing a certain thing and blah, 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 blah. So they get a lot of their conditioning and baseline stuff done tomorrow.
Yep.
Today is actual physical day. At the
off ice, yeah.
Yeah, at the arena. Bednar's presser starts in about 14 minutes.
Yep.
That was a memory. starts in about 14 minutes, so I'm sure there will be lots to to discern from that.
No doubt.
And we'll use the end of the show to catch up on that stuff as I'm sure
as stuff comes in. Yep. So,
but that's that's tomorrow and media day. We couldn't do today because of Alanis Morissette.
It figures. I think I used that last time too, but that's okay. It's gonna be a little bit weird getting back into a proper training camp again, because not only for us but for the players too. You remember they had a super abbreviated camp last year.
Camp stamp.
Pretty much, it was the size of a stamp.
Yeah.
It was the camp, and they were going and off into the season basically. So,
yep.
Gonna see a little bit more opportunity for players to get up to speed. Going into the season, they get a full regular or preseason as well, which, you know, we've had the conversation of, is that too long before?
This year is actually going to be good for them.
Yeah, fairly reasonable.
It'll be good for everybody,
to get people's feet back under them in a proper NHL season. So
that'll be important.
Excited for that. Excited to see how things shake out early on. Don't be surprised, as AJ mentioned, if the pictures of players laying on the ice gassed come in tomorrow, because day one, they're going to skate hard. Especially the guys who haven't been in Colorado too long.
Yeah, I think most of the guys have been back in Denver for a week or two, participating in the camps and stuff. But day one, they always push them hard.
Yep.
With the conditioning stuff. So I'm not looking forward to watching that. That's not the most interesting thing that we will do all week. But
certainly not.
It's okay. It'll be enough. Like, it'll be cool to see the actual team back on the ice.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to proper NHL players again.
Yeah. The speed is going to be it's going to take some getting used to after a week and a half of
lower paced hockey, for sure.
Yeah, just the kids.
Digging into that defensive side a little bit, we understand the starting roster, but how much room is there for movement in the depth and call-up options here? Realistically, there's a possibility that Jack Johnson ends up as a sixth or seventh. There's a possibility he's not on the team at all.
Yeah, so their options, their three main defensive options, I think, coming into this camp as your 7, 8, and 9 guys. Curtis McDermott could be a forward.
Yep.
Jacob McDonald may or may not have gotten vaccinated and may or may not be available for certain things. Jack Johnson's on a PTO, so he may or may not even be on the team this year in the organization beyond the preseason. So
question marks there.
There are three guys there that I think you have things to wonder about.
Yep.
Where you just
maybe some spots end up for grabs.
Yeah, some clarification, you know, and the McDonald thing just comes from some things that he put on Instagram.
Sure.
Where it sounded like he was not particularly interested in getting the vaccination. And look, not to turn this into that discussion, but we're seeing it league-wide.
Multiple players have been announced as not be available for indefinite amounts of time in some cases.
Yeah, and, you know, these guys are going to miss, you know, some of these guys, if they make the team, are going to miss 30 games. They're going to
can't travel to Canada.
Yeah, like there are stipulations. It's not us trying to push our politics or anything, because I already did that. It's more of a question of, you know, if he's not available for certain games or certain situations, you know, that might hurt his chances to make the team away and or be a part of certain road trips, or, you know, if somebody goes down and they're going on a Western Canada swing,
he can't go.
He's not an option for them. And that might increase the chances that a Jack Johnson gets a contract and gets playing time, moves ahead of somebody.
Definitely.
So that's, you know, just in talking about the realistic where we're headed, where we could be headed, and the upside downside of things. The downside is that all three of those guys that we've talked about have serious problems on the ice.
Yep.
Jacob McDonald doesn't play any defense.
Full send, as a defenseman.
Baby. Jack Johnson hasn't been any good for a long time. And Curtis McDermott, the same thing. hasn't gotten as many games, but the ones that he's gotten into,
arguably the worst defenseman in the NHL.
He has produced on ice results that are nothing short of horrific.
Yeah. So how real is a conversation then for a Dennis Gilbert or even a Justin Barron to put themselves near the top of the call-up list?
Well, if I'm using the rookie tournament as any kind of a gauge for anything,
help Barron for sure. But
Justin Barron's just not ready defensively.
Yeah.
And that's where the Avs don't need another puck moving guy that struggles on defense.
Yeah.
You know, where he would be helpful is in moving puck, breaking pucks out of their zone.
Sure.
But another guy that struggles to defend or has question marks in his own zone, it's just not necessary at this point. You know, I would say that with Justin Barron, whatever kind of hype or expectation that people might have had, the rookie tournament should have at least put
tempered
a stop
a good
to
bit,
some of
yeah.
it. And then we'll go from there from training camp and see what he actually does against the NHL guys. It's fully possible he goes in with a different mentality. He's much more aggressive defensively.
Yeah.
And he gets after it in a different way than we saw in the rookie tournament. Wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the last time that'll happen.
I think
and if he does that, then he changes that conversation again. But as of this moment, I don't have him on my list in my top 11 or so.
I wouldn't either right now. It's definitely someone I would want to revisit halfway through the season and see how his AHL stuff has gone. But I think it definitely is worth noting for defensemen, especially as they start to install systems that can help a defenseman a lot.
For sure.
Especially on the defensive side.
Playing inside of a structure and knowing what the other four guys are going to be doing on the ice, whereas the rookie tournament and the AHL in general is a little more yellowy at
definitely,
times.
Definitely, yep.
It's a fair point. It could definitely, I mean, we saw it with Kevin Shattenkirk.
Yep.
He was not particularly good at any of his training camps. His brief AHL stint was not very good. And then he got to the NHL
and was fire
and never went back.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know with some of these guys. But it's in terms of this guy's earning it or this guy's outplaying this guy. He's not there yet. And I think that it's Dennis Gilbert is a guy that I'm way more curious about, especially just the element that he brings.
Size, defensive ability, more so than offensive.
Well, sure. And a lot of nastiness.
Yeah.
A lot of nastiness. A lot of...
Can throw hands if you need him
well,
to.
Too much of a willingness to do that.
Don't disagree, but...
But a willingness to block shots and just a natural tendency to try and put through guys through the glass. And I think that's as a depth guy that could help them, I like that element a little bit more than...
Well,
like a Jordan Gross, who's going to come up and he's strictly a puck mover. He's
small,
does not
can't
help
defend
defensively.
Well. I mean, you look at Dennis Gilbert and you kind of go like, why did you get Curtis McDermott if Dennis Gilbert can do that?
Definitely. And if that's where if they really envision McDermott as a forward.
Right, exactly.
And they did not get him with the idea of him playing extensive minutes on defense. And as has been the case so far publicly, they've talked about him more as a forward than a defenseman.
Definitely.
We've only ever really talked about him as a defenseman because that's all he's actually done in the NHL.
That's where the numbers are.
So if he moves to forward and he removes himself from that D conversation for the most part, then, you know, that's probably for the best for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think that's realistic.
He was a real bad defenseman, guys. It was real bad.
Instead of talking more about this, just open up a beer, get some Breckenridge Brewery, and take a sip because it's going to taste sweeter.
Just run downstairs.
Exactly. Just pick one up down there. Check out Breckenridge Brewery. Either it is eerily quiet here today. It's kind of weird. But Breck Brew, you can go get it at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you. Of course, check us out at the bar. We got 8 different kinds of beer on tap. Also, Good Company Hard Seltzer. If you're a hard seltzer type of person, Breck has got you covered there too. And then hit up DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. You've missed the great deal for the first 2 weeks of the NFL, but they're still giving you a really good one. If you create a new account with code DNVR, all you have to do is bet $1 on any week 3 NFL game, and they will give you $150 in free bets instantly. So it's $150 to play around with on DraftKings. Make your bets. Have a little bit of fun. I had some fun last night. I won a good amount of money on some snooker. That was pure luck. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never watched a minute of snooker in my life before last night, but my bet paid off. So jump on DraftKings Sportsbook and have a little bit of fun. Bet on some totally random sports, or bet on the big four and bet for crazy weird stuff to happen or expected things to happen, like the Avs likely winning their division. Take your pick. Earn some money. DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. New accounts only for the $1 bet for $150 in free bets. Please use the DNVR code. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. DraftKings is an official betting partner of the NFL. After that, if you're going to the Broncos game, or not even the Broncos game, if you're just going for a little bit of a tailgate party, come on down here to the DNVR and get on the DNVR party bus that's going over to Mile High. It's going to be, I explained it last time, is it's basically our tailgate show on wheels. It's going to be a total blast. Everyone's going to have a ton of fun. Everyone's going to get hammered. It's going to be great all the way around. You can get in and have fun with the tailgate for just $20. That comes with unlimited beer and pizza until we run out of all of them, and we're going to bring a lot of both, so jump on it, get in there. For an extra $10, you get a party bus ticket to and from the game as well, so you don't have to go in, you don't have to pay for parking, any of that. We got you covered. Jump on the party bus and enjoy what should be a fun weekend for the Broncos.
It's going to be cool for us too.
Yeah, it's going to be dope.
We get to watch hockey and then
Watch hockey, watch a race, go get drunk at a Broncos game.
Yeah.
A lot of winning there.
Sounds dope.
Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Oh,
Evan's hanging
out
in our chat, and I was just looking through his Twitter to see if the presser had started yet.
There you go.
Evan, pay attention. Jeez.
Could have gotten it right from the source.
Unbelievable.
Look at that. He's even like, hey, Bednar's about to go. He's got it on lock.
My man.
Let's get into, well, like, you know what, let's do the goaltending situation first in training camp.
Is it weird that they haven't released the training camp roster yet? Do we have to do this every year?
It always happens.
It's always,
man,
like this, yep. Guys. It's always like this. The day before, the day of.
They
used to put them on top of the trash cans, yeah, and not give them to
there
anybody.
There was no tweet. There was no, like, announcement. It was just you had to go to FSC and pick up the piece of paper that they had sitting out front, and that was how you got the roster. So. Yep.
And before we had anybody in the media room, it was before that was truly the Wild West, because that was really before Twitter and all that took off, so...
You were really in deep at that point.
Yeah, there was, you know, it was just Chambers and Dater and Terry Fry way back in the day. So just
trying to pick out numbers on helmets.
Oh, so McDonald did post that he is fully vaxxed. Great. Good for him.
That helps his opportunity to be on an NHL roster this year quite
a bit. However, so we can just go ahead and erase all that whole section. Gone.
Perfect.
He is now the ideal seventh guy.
Sold.
Given his experience last year and the fact that he's not completely horrible like the other two are.
Sucks to suck, Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
All right. Goaltenders.
We're going to hate on Jack Johnson. He's going to make the team, and he's going to be totally serviceable, and nobody's ever going to listen to us again.
That's fine. It's a risk I'm willing to take.
Damn. That's the Sean Gentile tweet from yesterday.
Yep.
And it's still good.
Shots fired.
Yeah, it's still good.
In any case, goaltending, look, the top of it is obvious. It's going to be Kemper and Francois. But I am interested to get your thoughts, AJ, on what you think Annan and Miner can do in camp. And presumably they might both get a preseason game. Or,
I think they should. Definitely. Annan especially. Look, Annan's the golden goose there.
Definitely, yeah.
They've treated him like the number one of those of the prospects. He got one-on-one time with the coaching, three goaltender coaches every single practice. He had three coaches working with him through all the practices.
Himself.
He played. Yeah. Now each goalie got a game, which was actually kind of cool. In the past, they've always like broken them up into pieces, because
they had like four or five goalies. But yeah, and he did get LA as well.
Yeah, and one of the goals absolutely was his fault, but there were some other issues there.
Yep.
And let's be real, they gave up four goals in every game, so it wasn't like any of those guys were incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
with Anonin and or Minor, the real conversation here is, can they earn an AHL job out of preseason?
What is the Hunter Miska question kind of looms over all of this.
Yeah.
What do they plan to do with him? What's their vision for Miska this year? I think I've always just assumed that it's going to be Miska and JJ to start the year in Loveland.
So have I.
And then as the year progresses, you might see Miska drop down and be the number one in Utah while Anonin becomes the backup.
Yep.
But to be determined still. And I think that injuries will obviously play a role. You're not going to go an entire season.
Of course.
And not have any of these cats get injured. So that will be something that...
Opportunities will present themselves whenever that happens, of
absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely. So... That's, I think that's the hierarchy. If you were going to number them, I think it would go Kemper, almost said Grubauer. Kemper,
Franzos,
Johansson, and then Miska, and then Anonin, and then Minor, with Anonin jumping over Miska
at some point
as something that happens as the year goes on.
Sure. I think that's probably the most reasonable take of the bunch.
I just think that's the smart play for that.
It's really hard, especially for a goaltender in a situation like a training camp and even one or two preseason games. The sample size is just so small for a goaltender to really move the needle.
To be honest, Minor might even be ahead of Anonin right now on day one just because of familiarity on North American ice.
Yeah, you could make a case for
and
that.
But then going to the ECHL... Anonin would be more comfortable there because they play their home games on
international.
Olympic
ice. Yep.
So I would say I still think it's Anonin, but you could see where they would say we want to get him adjusted and get him comfortable.
Absolutely.
And then in time, allow him to take over a little bit more.
I mean, you know that was my take in the ECHL. Give Anonin all the away games, so he's on the he's on the normal the North American ice.
Absolutely.
It's not particularly an interesting conversation in the immediate for the NHL roster, but
it's not even a roster battle that we'll be keeping a close eye on.
Not really.
You're talking so down depth chart there. Right.
The gap between even Franzos and Johansson is fairly large.
Yeah. Well, and then the gap between the gap between Johansson and Miska is
ocean. Yeah.
Big.
Yep. So a lot of guys are pretty squarely in their spots there, but this is something that's more interesting for us prospect folks 2 or 3 years down the line.
Yeah.
As Anonin starts to step his way into the organization and things
definitely.
Like that. So did want to talk about it.
I thought Minor played like shit.
I thought his rebound control was really, really bad.
Yeah. I mean, pucks were just pinging off of him.
Yeah.
Minor was okay, but you're talking Minor faced 30 shots against a Blah Ducks team, and Anonin ended up going. He faced 47 shots against an AHL team,
and
gave one of those goals away.
Gave a goal away. The fourth goal was incredibly wacky, as well.
In a decided game with like 3 minutes to play,
and Minor couldn't make a save to end a game in regulation.
Yeah, choked away a two-goal lead in the final minute.
Hunter Miska vibes. That's all I'm saying. But
I didn't get that. It was just different.
I mean, I know what you're saying.
Anonin speaks English, so It's not, you know, obviously having UC Parkla, he's very familiar with Annenin, but Eustace, he speaks English well enough that he's able to effectively receive coaching from Peter Budaj.
A lot better than Olausen speaks English.
Yes, absolutely.
Basically, so.
Yeah, I don't actually know what the feed looked like. I didn't see what any of the, I saw some of the replays and was like, this is pretty far away.
It looked like Miner was a pinball machine. On that.
Yeah, live, it was.
Not that Annenin's rebound control wasn't particularly great either, but. Annenin gets away with it a little more because he's a large human being. So in that regard, it works out as the news is coming in for AJ here, I'm sure, on the side over here. But
OK, so Devon Taves was in a no contact jersey when we saw him.
Yep.
And then from Evan says Bednar clarifies that Taves will miss games at the start of the season with no time frame.
Classic.
We're not even at training camp
and
yet.
We're already not getting a time frame. Wonderful news.
But the fact that he will miss games at the start of the year, we're still 3 weeks away from opening night.
So that means he's a month away from returning.
We're already digging into that depth. Jacob McDonald time.
With some type of upper body injury, presumably.
Yeah.
Because he is skating.
Anyway, that's the first takeaway from the presser that's going on simultaneously.
Yeah, those will keep rolling in as we go.
We got schedule rolled today.
It's been a day already, and we got more to come after the show. Yeah. So, but hey, lots of content coming soon for you guys.
Yeah, it's true. It's all in the name of you guys being able to consume everything that you want.
Yeah, we got you covered. That's for sure.
That's what we do.
Lots of stuff coming from DNVR. How far are we into the show? I don't know. Can you just like mouse over us real quick? All right. Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Do it. Pay the bills.
So when you're halfway through a show in the bedroom, you don't want to realize you've got a bunch of hairs out of place. You know? Devon Taves, you find out mid-show he's going to miss half the season. You find out
miss part of the season. Don't say half the season.
Right.
We don't know.
You're right, but you know you don't want to show up. You don't want to show up and find out Lefty's going to miss half the season in the bedroom. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
That's true.
So make sure you're manscaping on a regular basis. Use code DNVR to get 20% off and you get free shipping when you get the Perfect Package 4.0. They do a whole lot more than just keep your junk in order too. You can get deodorant, you can get toner, you can get all sorts of amazing stuff. Breath mints, shave mats, razors for your face, you name it. They got you covered from head to toe to take care of any unruly hair you got. Hit up manscaped.com. Again, use the DNVR code to get 20% off at checkout. Then head on over to Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD infused coffee that can really help. Maybe Devon Taves needs some aches and pains in his life. Can help with the joint pain. Maybe he's some IBS going on, something like that. Good to go. It's great. Super easy because it's your coffee that you just drink in the morning anyway. It's like I like to say it's like combining Advil and coffee into one thing. Super nice. Check it out. If you haven't, you can get 25% off when you use code DNVR25 on your first purchase of StravaCraft coffee online. Of course, last but not least, we have Green Mountain Dental Group, the best family-owned dentist in the Denver metro area. They can take care of everything you need when it comes to cleaning and taking care of your teeth. When you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush to make your life easier brushing your teeth at home as well. So jump in with them. A bunch of people have switched with us, and they all say they're a great dentist. They do a great job. Very good at reminding you when your appointments are, keeping you up to date on the work that you need done.
A low-key nice thing to have, because when you make an appointment 3 weeks out for something,
yeah, you're going to forget.
Yeah, like and you start scheduling other things, you start putting other stuff in into your life, and then you're like, oh, right, that's a thing that has to happen.
Especially like these days, as we're still coming out or still in pandemic level stuff. Yeah. So there's a lot of things in the world where it's like, yeah, you have to schedule this at least 2 weeks out.
Well, and especially because all businesses are treating things differently where some of them are still appointment only, pickup
only,
like online portal only. Like it's just, it's a moving target, so it's a nice little feature to have somebody that'll actually like take care of that for you and be like, okay,
yo, remember,
hey, 24-hour reminder.
Yep,
you agreed to be at this time and place tomorrow.
Yep. So, good on them. We appreciate them. They've been with us for a very long time as well. So, we love them. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's get into the real actual potential battle at this training camp. The amalgamation of forwards piling up in the bottom end of the Avs forward roster.
Yeah. Bednar mentions by name Newhook, Ranta, and Maltsev.
Ranta and
as guys that he's excited to see in camp. Mentions the competition as to how their lines will shake out through preseason.
Yep. So
this is going to be this, and I sure hope this forever puts to death the weird narrative that has started to build over the last few years that camp doesn't matter.
It definitely does.
That the preseason is irrelevant, that everything is predetermined.
Yeah.
You've got to see how these guys do.
Yep.
And go from there. You know, the fact that Ranta was really blah in Arizona for the rookie tournament should put him a quarter step behind where Newhook is.
Definitely. But with that being
Newhook
said,
Newhook kicked ass. No, I mean, Ranta had a number of issues.
Newhook should be a mortal lock for the roster at this point, I would think, barring like a disastrous camp.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But to put Ranta's name in with him and Maltsev, I think is pretty interesting.
As young guys, specifically,
right,
that they want, that they're looking for. Because that's two guys in Ranta and Maltsev. What do they have in common?
Speed.
Size and speed.
Yeah.
So the speed element is something that they've been after for a while.
Yep.
But the size element is an important addition because...
Especially in that bottom six.
Everybody saw what happened in the postseason, and it kind of felt like when Vegas really turned it up, that what they wanted to do was just physically...
Run you over.
Yeah, just run into the Avs as many times as possible. So getting a couple of guys that are a little bit bigger that either can do it themselves or can hold up to it. And we saw Ranta got run a number of times in Arizona.
Yep.
And just took it and just kept going. And he was fine.
Which is obviously good to see.
Just because a guy doesn't get specifically named as anything doesn't
mean they're out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not get crazy. It's names that they're excited to see. There was no...
Yeah.
There's no roster language used here, really. Yeah.
Right. Like, that he's excited to see those guys, cool.
And like, let's remember, 2 years ago, Bednar was super excited to see Bowers.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily mean anything as far as NHL opportunity.
I don't know if Mac did the camp in Vail this year or not. It didn't seem like there was very much time.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know when he got to Denver.
And he had to fly out to do all the media stuff in New York,
and
too.
We saw him last week in Denver, and then he did the Chicago media tour, and then now he's back, obviously. So I'm not sure if they did Vail this year. I didn't see anything about it. All I heard is about all their group training in Nova Scotia.
Which they always do.
Yeah.
Him, Crosby... Bowers has been with them before, too.
Barron and Marchand and Graves.
Yep. There's a bunch of dudes up there.
Yeah.
So, looking down that list, also not to go untalked about, Maltsev is on the team. He is someone that the Avs specifically targeted in a trade.
Yeah. A guy that we have always felt like, look, his inclusion was not accidental.
Right.
Sakic immediately pointed him out, and we wanted to see him at center. And so I think it's no surprise again that Maltsev is going to be in that mix. He played 33 games with the Devils last year and did a specific job.
So who are your inside lines today for that fourth line? Is it Helm, Maltsev, and O'Connor?
McDermott will start on defense.
Okay, well, now at least we have clarity now. I don't understand why, but we have clarity.
Fucking
Here's where this gets extra confusing to me, though. If McDermott is going to start on defense, why did you PTO Jack Johnson?
I mean, because they knew that Devontae's had off-season surgery and may not be ready to start the season.
But even then, you have McDermott to fill in Devontae's spot, if that's how you want to do it. And yeah. Then you still have a Jacob McDonald and Dennis Gilbert down the line, or mm-hmm. or whoever you want in the 9-10 spot. I'm struggling to see how Jack Johnson fits.
Their defensive depth isn't great.
I understand. I hear you there, but I still struggle with that. I guess it's less crowded than the forward core.
Yeah.
But
that's why the Anisimov thing doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, from a body count perspective, Anisimov makes zero sense. Really, like, it does, but
them going in and getting a PTO forward made sense, but sure. It was like Ryan Donato made sense.
Yep.
Not old and washed and can't play this role.
Yeah. It feels like you're hoping for something that's not there a lot, yeah, with Anisimov.
I mean, Kaut is going to be in the same position that he's been certainly last year.
Yep.
But with more competition. Yep. I think there's less certainty at the NHL level, but there's more bodies competing for spots than last year.
And just to reiterate.
Last 2 years, really.
Is your inside line Helm, Maltsev, O'Connor for line
four?
I think that's
where it starts. And okay. then you know, we get into all the conversation about all those guys that we've talked about all offseason.
Yeah.
Anisimov and Kaut and Bowers and Ranta and the AHL, the AHL vets,
on
Dylan
and on
Sakura
and
Stephen
on.
Matteau yeah. and Jason yeah. Megna, you know those guys.
Yep.
So. Yep.
And it gets difficult, at least from the outside, to really formulate an order for that list as well. I think outside of the top 3, 4, 5 guys, when you start getting out into all the bodies competing for spots, that is where I think you can really make an impact at a training camp.
See, and this is why you don't make too much of certain things.
Yep.
Tays had shoulder surgery, by the way, which is no surprise.
Yep.
Bednar says Shane Bowers is much improved from the last time they saw him. Similar to Kaut in that they need to get noticed in camp. They have those guys penciled into specific spots through camp.
So
the idea
they're going to get their looks. Yeah.
The idea that we took a tweet from Evan and specifically he had Ranta in that one tweet, but not Bowers.
Follows
not,
up with another conversation.
Does not mean that that's how the hierarchy is slated to be.
And as the point I was getting to is, beyond the guys that they probably have penciled in for the fourth line, I think that hierarchy, whatever it is fairly fluid.
Oh, it's totally fluid, especially for camp. And that it will get less fluid when these guys start to get going with the Eagles.
Yeah, definitely.
Because when the Eagles start going, you know, Andreas Wingerle maybe looks great with the Eagles and he pushes his way up that list.
I mean, every single year there is a player that starts in the AHL that looks wicked hot.
Yeah.
And they'll get the call up when someone gets dinged up for a couple games or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Like, we're fully expecting 15 of these guys to play games for the Avs this year.
Yep.
Maybe more.
Yep. It's going to be a lot of rotation in the Avs bottom
six.
With the number of bodies they have at forward, especially, it's going to be a lot of dude.
Yeah, Helm, I think I have penciled in as the 4C for now.
But
it would not surprise me at all if it's Helm, Maltsev, LOC tomorrow.
Yep. That's what I'm expecting to be a line as far as the practice is concerned. But
same.
After that, this is where the fun begins when we try to figure out who's on a line with who.
That's what camp will be for. That camp is the beginning of that, and then moving on to preseason, that's where the separation starts to happen.
Yep. Bednar flexes between carrying 1 and 13 forwards depending on the opponent. So do you think he just wants McDermott as beef when the Avs play a Vegas or St. Louis?
Yeah, I mean, we saw with Liam O'Brien last year that they wanted a tougher guy.
Yep.
And it didn't make any discernible difference. Liam O'Brien didn't play a single second of their sweep in the postseason.
Yep.
So I just don't think it's... I don't, you know... Yeah, the picking a guy up off of Seattle would have been fine. It was just they did that already, and they shouldn't have. Like targeting McDermott when there was a Hayden Fleury sitting around. They've got nine guys on that defense.
The Avs are also very low on the waiver list if someone actually interesting ends up going on waivers from Seattle. They're going to be a lot of teams that get.
Well, they base it on standings,
right?
So they start the season at the bottom,
in last place.
Yeah, if they get a waiver guy, it's because
no one else wanted him.
Said no, thank you.
So it's going to be hard for the Avs to waiver hunt until it. When does it update? Is like a month into the season.
Yeah, it's a month into the season. November 1st.
Yeah, so
will be the first they will adjust to
and
November 1st.
And if we're being honest, we're expecting the Avs to be near the bottom of that list all year. So
yeah, but dead last to start it.
fair enough.
If an intriguing guy goes on that list, it's not going to be.
Avs won't really have much opportunity to get them. Yes.
Pretty much every time a guy goes that somebody has heard of goes on waivers, it's should they do this?
Yeah,
and it's almost the answer is almost always no, they shouldn't.
And I am interesting to see how aggressively the Avs use the Eagles this year. Because last year, they were super aggressive with the taxi squad. They were constantly moving guys up and down off of that thing.
And they were also in a different cap situation. This year, with $2.5 million of cushion remaining,
they can float a little bit.
Yeah, they can afford to really just do whatever they want.
Yep. So I do want to see if they do aggressively look to move guys up and down, especially when they're both at home type of thing. We know the Avs aren't afraid to run a 21-man roster if they need to.
Yeah, it kind of just depends on which extras they keep, because if they're waiver exempt, there's nothing wrong with sending your scratches down to play for the Eagles that night.
Yep. It's
not a thing that really bothers me much.
Agreed. You want to get those dudes as much hockey as possible a lot of the time. So.
The big thing is you don't want rust building up, you know?
Well, and
they didn't have that option with Byram last year, and he just sat, and he paid a price for it at the end of the year. This year, they'll have the opportunity to move him down to the Eagles if he gets in a situation where he needs to.
February, when everyone goes off to the Olympics, you can put all the kids with the Eagles, and they can continue to play while the NHL's on pause.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So,
because the AHL did not build in a.
There is no break for them.
Yeah, they did not build in an Olympic break. Most of their guys don't have to worry about that.
I'd say almost all of them don't have to worry about
maybe
that.
Maybe some of the smaller country guys.
Yeah.
But it would be a small number of impacted players.
Yep.
Whereas, could you imagine the NHL?
Just keeps going with half of rosters missing.
I mean,
and stuff?
How different does the Avs outlook get when they maybe lose Kemper? Yeah. They maybe lose both Kemper and Francois.
That's
and then obviously McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog, Burakovsky, Nichushkin, Makar, and then maybe another defenseman somewhere. Like,
that's
how different is their outlook yet?
McKinnon wakes up to a text from Joe Sakic one day that says, "Sorry, bud, but you can't go to the Olympics. We're gonna need you here."
Berkey, you can go.
It's fine. It's fine.
You're like, Frankie, go have a good time.
Kemper, you're staying.
Yeah, you're not going over there. Sorry, bud.
So.
No, anyway, that is a good point that they could exploit the AHL team.
For the Olympic.
They could also choose to get those guys as much rust as they want. So for the first 2 weeks.
They cannot play them if they don't want to.
They could sit guys. And then for the next 2 weeks, you know, Ranta, Newhook, Byram, all of those guys could go be Eagles for a while.
Pretty much any waiver exempt guy on the Avs.
So. Could go down and do whatever. Any Eagle, any waiver exempt guy should be an Eagle for that time period.
Yep.
That's where the Eagles get all jacked on their schedule and go on a 10-game winning streak.
There could be issues with like the trade deadline there, but I imagine they're.
I think it's supposed to be after.
Is it after?
I think it's. So the clear day roster stuff should be after.
Okay. Then it'd be fine, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Byram's had a great rookie year if he's on that. Yeah, if he's on the Olympic team.
He's in the Calder conversation.
I'm all for it, man. Sure.
Wouldn't complain.
Let's do it.
Okay, so final thoughts before day one of camp.
I'm just excited to see the NHL team back.
Let's go.
It does feel like the fastest offseason we've ever had.
It has been.
If only because it is.
It went from 0 to 100 real quick, though.
Yeah, maybe that's, yes.
It was nothing, and then it was
they don't
bam,
call
bam.
It, they don't call it 0 to 35 to 70 to 100.
Sometimes that's what NHL preseason feels like, though, man.
Yeah, this has ramped up for us, though, immediately.
Yep. Because you usually have dev camp after the draft.
Yeah.
And then it's a slow burn into proper training camp. But not this time. This time we're just going. But that's going to do it for today's show.
Team will be 100% vaccinated shortly.
So there's a few holdouts.
Maybe a holdout. Maybe a guy waiting on a
second
vaccine.
Shot. Look.
Whatever. As long
get it
as
done.
As long as they get to 100, we go.
We're good. We're good. Yeah.
Just don't care.
Yep.
Yeah. Greg Button also. I was going to say Greg Button does drugs, but you can't just like accuse somebody of that.
I mean, coffee's a drug, so he probably does.
Yeah, okay. Greg Button abuses coffee. That is too bold, I think.
Greg Button always has interesting lists. We'll put it that way. Yeah.
It's true. He is an entertaining fellow.
Yeah. And
love him.
Well, his lists are amazing because they're out there, but he always gets a couple dead right.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing about him, man. That's why everybody just is just like, yep, this is interesting. But he feels how he feels, and he's unapologetic for it, and he's got great job security. So.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing as Corey Pronman's refusal to admit that Cale Makar is an unbelievable skater. He has great job security, so he doesn't have to.
Live the dream.
He can grind that axe forever.
All right. Well, we're out of here. Thank you so much for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate all of you. We will be live tomorrow after training camp. I'm guessing probably around 2:30 Mountain.
Yeah, I would say that that's a decent expectation. I'll pull up the schedule. Just
I think they're done at, is it like 1:15 or something?
I think it's 12:45.
Okay.
But I want to
half hour the other
totally
way.
Check.
So maybe close to 1:30. Depends on how long it takes to get all set up. We'll see.
Yeah. 12:45 Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday and Monday is 1 PM.
Okay. So,
it might end up being right about our normal
could
time.
Could be 1:30, 1:45, something
yeah,
like that.
We'll
yeah.
leave immediately.
Yeah, all as soon as camp's leave. Done, we go home, we pod.
Yeah.
You'll see Evan probably on the show as well the next couple days.
Yeah,
so.
I would expect that Evan will be present throughout
camp.
The preseason yep. and stuff for us.
So, hope to see you all there. Looking forward to more on-ice things going on. You know, we got you covered here at DNVR. Until next time, we will talk to you all later.